Bible, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to take up where we left off this morning and go on from there. By the way, pray for Cora, my granddaughter. She's sick, and Carson was sick earlier in the week. Now Cora's got it, and then it'll be Trey's turn later, all right? Right, Trey? He said, keep it away. Don't breathe when you're in the room with them, okay? Be careful. Be careful about that. All right. 1 Timothy chapter 1, look if you will, verse 18. Now, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. I want you to notice there in verse 18 that thou mightest war a good warfare. I do have a title to the sermon tonight. It's War, a Good Warfare, okay? I've even got introduction. We got both the things we didn't have this morning, all right? Look, even 2,000 years ago almost, the work of the Lord was looked upon as warfare. It's not a latter-day thing, okay? Paul knew that Timothy was in for a battle. He knew he was in for a battle. That situation hasn't changed a bit in our day. Hadn't got a bit better. Conditions, circumstances, still the same. You and I as a Christian are in a battle. Living the Christian life, serving the Lord, trying to take a stand for good and for God is going to result in a battle. You're just going to have one, all right? The idea that the child of God can live at peace with the world is not a concept that can be backed up by Scripture. There's no way. And by the way, God didn't leave us here to live at peace with the world, all right? Not at all, okay? We're not to spend our time here on earth trying to negotiate a peace treaty with the world, the flesh, and the devil. But we are to war a good warfare. We're to war a good warfare. And I believe what God's done here, he kind of gave us a recipe for doing that right here in the Scriptures. Notice what it said there in verse 18. He said, this charge I commit unto thee according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them what? Them prophecies. Those prophecies, okay? Those prophecies. By those prophecies, that thou mightest war a good warfare. And you say, what are we getting at? Well, when we talk about prophecies, hey, we're talking about the Word of God, okay? We're talking about the Word of God. And what Paul is writing to Timothy and what the Lord's saying to you and I, this warfare that we're in is to be a scriptural warfare, all right? It's to be a scriptural warfare. Our warfare is not a carnal warfare. It's not fleshly. It's not sensual, okay? It's a spiritual war that we fight in. That means, hey, we don't come to battle with guns and knives and that kind of thing. We're not buying tanks, all right? We're not stocking up a bunker with ammunition. That's not the kind of war we're in. Hey, neither are we in a war that involves knuckles and fists, all right? We're not in a war like that. God didn't send us out there into this world to beat up everybody, all right? I've got a book of poetry. I know it shocks some of you to think I would read poetry, but I do have a book of poetry that talks about, I think, and boy, I'm searching the memory because I hadn't read it in a long time. I think the title of it maybe was something like Pious Pete, but in this poem, it talked about a guy that, you know, if you wouldn't listen, he'd knock them down and then he'd preach to them while he's sitting on their chest. That's not the kind of warfare we're in, okay? So we're not encouraging you to do that. We're not to get out there and get in a fist fight with somebody over the Bible and over serving God and being a Christian. But it's a spiritual warfare. It is a war that's carried out with the Word of God and prayer. Spiritual battle. It is the battle of truth against falsehood. It's truth against falsehood. Our weapon is this book. Our weapon is this book. that the Lord illustrated that for us when he was tempted in the wilderness. He was there 40 days, and then the devil comes to him and tempts him, and the Lord fought against him, if you would, opposed him by saying, hey, it's written. It's written. Here's what the Bible says, okay? That's our warfare. When we get out there and you're doing battle in the world and you're dealing with sinners, it is not, well, let me give you my reasoning. No, here's what the Bible says. And that's the way we're to come at it, all right? That's why we encourage you, read your Bible, read your Bible. Learn the Word of God. If at all possible, memorize passages of Scripture. Therefore, when you get into that battle, it's, hey, wait a minute, you need to know this is what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. Hey, by the way, that's why a lot of times you get in that discussion and people say, now, I don't want to hear what the Bible says. And the reason, because they don't have an argument against it. There's no argument. See, the world's reasoning ability ceases to work in the face of absolute truth in the Word of God. So we come to this warfare. It's a scriptural thing. It is to be scriptural. We're to always make our point. Here's what the Bible says. Hey, listen, I'm opposed to abortion because of what the Bible says about human life. Because of what the Bible says about human life. Hey, I'm opposed to same-sex marriage, not because I'm homophobic, but because of what the Bible says. All right, because of what the Bible says. We'll get over here in the next chapter, all right? In chapter 2, in 1 Timothy, look, verse 12, Bible said, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Hey, you say, preacher, what's wrong with a woman preaching? Nothing in the world except the Word of God. There it is, all right? The Word of God. It's not my vote. Well, you just hate women. No, I don't. I married one, all right? And you got to be careful as a preacher. You can't say, no, I love women. Boy, that'll get you in trouble, all right? But I will say I married one, okay? I married one. Don't have any problem, but our battle is from the Word of God. Well, preacher, times have changed. Doesn't make a hill of beans a bit of difference what the times have changed. God's Word hasn't. So we stand on that, okay? That is our warfare. It is a scriptural warfare. We come from the Word of God. And notice what verse 19 says, holding faith. Holding faith. Hey, by this, we mean, hey, we stand in faith. Don't lose your place, but go back to Galatians chapter 2, would you? Galatians chapter 2, real familiar verse, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. The Bible says this, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Hey, all this life is holding faith, holding faith. What we're doing, what we do, it is by faith. We stand in faith in God and war a good warfare. We live by faith. We fight by faith. Okay? We fight by faith. That's what's going on. We don't go to the battle only when we see the outcome as a sure thing. We don't go to battle like that. Okay, there's 15 of us. And one of them, we got this. We're not going to lose. We're not going to lose. Hey, but what if it's one against that 15? Well, that's going in faith. That's going in faith. We don't just do it when it looks like, well, slam dunk, we're going to win this one. No, we go in faith, trust in God. Listen, it didn't look like David had a chance. It didn't look like David had a chance. Come on, let's be honest. We've all heard, you know, the underdog and all of that kind of stuff. But let's be honest. Here's a trained soldier. Amen. A trained soldier. Big man. Not just big, but strong man. equipped, armored, got a fella carrying the shield in front of him, got help, and here comes this teenage boy. No armor. He don't have a spear. He doesn't have a sword. He runs down to picks up a few rocks. Now, let's be honest. Come on. If you'd have been there that day, maybe you'd have been like David's brothers. Oh, no. How are we going to explain this to Dad? I mean, let's really be honest. If you and I had been there, now we might have been hoping, but we wouldn't have been very confident. I mean, here he is. Hey, this guy's intimidated the whole army of Israel for days now. Hey, send me a man to fight. All of them, no thanks. Not me, boss. I'm out. David shows up and says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? But honestly, you look at it and say, he doesn't have a chance. Or maybe it'll be a miracle if he even survives. But that's the way we battle. It's in faith. It's in faith. I'm going to tell you, there's been plenty of times in serving God when you're just there by faith. Because you're not there saying, I know we got this. A lot of times it's, Lord, here I am. If I lose, I'm going to go down fighting. I'm going to go down fighting. Hey, that's what I mean when I say we're to war in faith, all right? It is holding faith. We hold on to faith and say, Lord, we're trusting you. You put me here. You put me in the battle. And he did put us in the battle, okay? You said, not me. Yeah, he did. You got saved. You're in the battle. You're there. You were recruited. You volunteered. Well, I didn't understand all that. Too late. You're in the battle. You're in the battle. And we're holding in faith on that. But wait a minute. We're also to war for the faith. We're to war for the faith. We're not to war because I just like being belligerent. And I like to fight. At one point in time, I know I've told you the story of our neighbor, my brother and I, when we were growing up. My brother's best friend was Donnie Collins. He had a sister named Brenda. Brenda was older. And I just tell you the truth, Brenda liked to fight. And tell you the truth again, she's pretty good at it, all right? She could whoop all the boys in the neighborhood her age, all right, and enjoyed doing it. And the bad thing is they knew she could do it, which really made them resent her, okay? Now, wait a minute. Let me say this to you. We're not in the fight because we love to fight. I'll be honest with you, I would rather not have to fight. I don't enjoy that aspect. I don't enjoy doing it. But Jude 3 says we're to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Earnestly contend. Hey, that means we take up arms. We fight for that, all right? We just do it, all right? Some people, maybe you say, what do you mean by the faith? Well, some people condense it into the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. Now, that's a really narrow condensation, if you will, but hey, that faith once delivered to the saints is worth going to war over. It is worth standing for. That old faith is what we're fighting about. There's a great old song in our song, the grand old book and the dear old faith upon which we stand. Hey, that's it. That's what we fight for, okay? There's plenty of false prophets. There's plenty of false teachings. There's plenty of false religions in this world. And the one thing the devil does not want is somebody to stand up and give a strong witness for the infallible and the unfailing Word of God. The devil's against that. He opposes it. So when you begin to stand for that, you're going to have opposition. They use words like, you're just dogmatic. Well, when did that become a bad word? When did that become a word to be ashamed of? We're not to be ashamed. I'm saying, you're dogmatic, fine. I don't remember how many times I saw my dad preaching and say, well, you're narrow-minded. And he said, yep, about that narrow. Just about that narrow. That's fine. Don't have a problem. Don't have a problem with it. Hey, we're standing for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I said the devil's opposing us. Now, I'll be honest with you. He seems to be winning it as it looks, because it looks as if the truth of God's being marginalized in our society today. It's being pushed over to the side. Everything we see in Washington, and it's not just in the United States, it's around the world. It is amazing how it seems like all these nations are just falling in lockstep with all the anti-God, anti-Bible laws that are passed, everything aimed truly against those that believe the Word of God. You say, well, we're losing the battle. Doesn't matter. We're still to war a good warfare. It doesn't matter how bleak it looks. Very few of us were alive, and the ones that were alive are not old enough to remember what it was like on December 7th, 1941. Hey, man, things didn't look good. Things didn't look good. And I've got a lot of history books about that and the war in the Pacific. And I remember reading them, and I remember thinking, how did we win this thing? Because it seemed like, hey, the Japanese, they were better. They had better performing airplanes. The Zero could fly circles around our aircraft. They were better at night fighting in naval warfare. We'd get in a battle with them, and our ships would sink. And over and over, you look at it and think, how in the world are we going to make it? How in the world are we going to make it? It looked dark. But we didn't, because of the way it looked, we didn't say, okay, we quit. We quit. You and I, as God's people, we're to war a good warfare, all right? I'm not here to throw a wet blanket on you and think all is gloom and doom. I'm not, because that's not the way I feel. But I'm just telling you, hey, sometimes it looks that way with what's going on in the world. The truth of the matter is a sad thing. Preachers who will really get up and preach against sin and hold forth on the Word of God are getting rarer all the time. I mean, you don't hear that kind of thing. There's more of, we don't want to be negative. Well, you got to have a negative for the positive to work, okay? You just got to put, it takes both of them, all right? Churches today watering down the truth in order to maintain popularity. A lot of that goes on, okay? A lot of that goes on. They're not warring a good warfare. They're not standing for that faith once delivered to the saints. We're backing off from the Word of God. We're reinterpreting. Well, quit reinterpreting and just believe what God said. Yeah, let's just believe what he said, all right? But there's so much talking around in circles. I sometimes read behind some guys that I guess are scholars. And I read sometimes and wonder, what in the world are y'all talking about? I have no idea what you're talking about. I mean, it's out there. Words that are this long. And it's all theories and that they've come up with. And this guy thinks, man, who cares? What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? We've got this replacement theology. And this idea that the church has replaced Israel in the Scripture. Folks, that's a lie out of hell. It is unscriptural as it can be. And those kind of things, we begin to back off from the Word of God. We begin to quit taking such a strong stand. We begin to say, well, you know, let's just let it go. I heard yesterday, honestly, I heard of something I personally have never heard of. Now, maybe you have, all right? But it's a belief called super grace. And they said that, and I said, what in the world is that? And that is the belief that, hey, you get saved, you can do anything you want to. You can do anything you want to. And if you don't feel conviction about something, well, don't worry about it. You just live any way you want. You want to drink. You want to be immoral. You just go ahead. It's all right, because the grace of God is so wonderful. Hey, the grace of God is so wonderful. The grace of God is sufficient. Let me say this to you. It's not sufficient to cover anybody's open disobedience to the Word of God. Hey, you're presuming on the grace of God. But yet, that's being taught. No, what? You're kidding. No, there's people believe that. Hey, we've backed away from the truth. We've backed away from the truth. Hey, if we're going to war good warfare, it's got to be holding faith. It's got to be holding faith. Faith in God and faith for the fight that we need to take care of, all right? That you just stand for the faith, all right? Stand in faith and stand for the faith. But notice what else it says there in verse 19. It says holding faith and a good conscience. A good conscience. Hey, that's a character requirement for those who would war a good warfare. Character requirement is to have a good conscience. A good conscience will cause our conduct to conform to our creed. Now, that's a long way of saying it'll make your life match your lips, okay? It'll make your life match your lips. In other words, hey, it'll make our works match what our words say. That's what it takes to keep that clear conscience. If you're going to have a clear conscience, you can't say one thing and then do another. You just can't do it. You can't handle that way, all right? Now, you and I got to be careful. We can't abuse our conscience. God gave us a conscience for a reason. Now, I believe you can sear it so to the point where nothing bothers you. That's why I believe we get people like Jeffrey Dahmer. Their conscience is seared. They've sinned to such an extent that they no longer have the normal feelings and the normal reactions that a normal individual would have, because they've gone so deep and so far into sin, all right? And we say, well, you're sick. Well, they're sinful. They're sinful, all right? Hey, that conscience, God gives it to us to keep us straight. And we need it to help us keep us straight in this warfare, all right? We need that. You see, the problem is those who compromise the truth are going to have trouble with their conscience. Those who compromise the truth are going to have trouble with their conscience. Now, I believe, man, there's been a host of preachers. There's a lot of churches that I personally know of that used to really stand for good and for God, and today, completely different. Completely different. And in many cases, the pastor that was there is no longer there, and another fellow, usually a younger guy, comes in, and they have a better idea. But I'll tell you this, I still believe this with all my heart. Anytime you compromise the truth, it's going to get at your conscience. And now you can keep pushing it aside, but it's going to bother that conscience. I believe those who quit taking a stand for the truth are going to have a troubled conscience. So when the Bible says a good conscience, holding faith and a good conscience, that's so we can do what we should do, stay with it, all right? Keep our conscience right. Listen to that conscience when we go wrong and it said, you're headed the wrong way. We need that conscience. Hey, that's where shipwreck comes in. You look there, verse 20, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander. Hey, they've made shipwreck of the faith. Why? They kept violating their conscience. They quit holding faith. They violated it, and their lives are shipwrecked to this point that Paul said, I've delivered them unto Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Man, we're talking serious stuff, okay? talking serious stuff that I've learned them. And the Bible doesn't say they've lost their salvation. But Paul said, I just delivered them to Satan. He'll teach them. They'll learn a hard lesson. Hard lesson. Hey, you and I, we're to war a good warfare. War a good warfare. Let me just say, we're going to get done early tonight, all right? I didn't say that when it started because it got your hopes up. All right? But let me say this to you. You can get wounded at some point. If you serve the Lord, you can get wounded at some point. And sometimes it can be from the enemy. Sadly, sometimes it can be from friendly fire. We get wounded. You serve the Lord. It's possible for somebody else that's a Christian, maybe even in the same church, somebody knows you, to begin to talk about you. Because as you really begin to sell out for God and live for Him, somebody comes along and says, well, you know, they're just... You can get wounded from friendly fire. Yeah, you can. I just want to let you know that. I think every soldier that goes into battle, goes into war, realizes, hey, there's the chance I can get wounded. There's that chance. They don't know. Nobody goes in there saying, not me. I'm good. No problem. Nothing ever happened to me, and I'll never get shot. I'll never get hit or anything. No. Most everybody that really spends much time in warfare comes back with scars. Now, some of them are physical, some of them are emotional. But they come back with scars, okay? Hey, you can expect in this warfare to get wounded. You say, well, I don't like the way that sounds. Well, even if you get wounded, all right, you got to keep going to war and keep warring a good warfare. Don't think, well, I got wounded. Hey, somebody over here let me down. Somebody that was on my side shot me. They stabbed me in the back. Well, I'm done. Wait a minute. That wasn't God's doing, okay? You're going to get wounded at some point. You're going to get weary. You're going to be fatigued. You know, I think maybe that's why God put the scripture in, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We're going to get weary. We're going to get weary. I'll be honest with you. If you do what you should, you're tired. We had Roundup Sunday a couple weeks ago. You worked in that. When you got home, you were tired. You were tired. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. You get tired. I'll be honest with you, you may think preaching is a breeze and there's nothing to it. You get up here and yell at people, and who can't do that, all right? I just want to tell you something, it's a taxing thing. It is a taxing thing. There's a lot, it'll tax your nerves, you have to face people that are going, all right, giving you the evil eye sometimes. And some of my people shaking their head no. It'll work on your nerves, your nervous energy. It'll work on you physically, mentally, every way. But say, okay, well, I'm done. No, we're in this war, okay? Hey, there's going to be some tears shed. There'll be some tears shed along the way. But can I say that? None of that is a reason to stop the fight. None of that is a reason to give up on the fight. To war a good warfare demands we finish the war, okay? It demands we finish the war. Hey, I'm glad every now and then we see a battle where we win. I'm glad to see that battle. I'm glad to see the win. I'm glad to chalk that up. I think about the first time years ago in a moment of insanity, I decided, I had some girls in the school and they said, Brother Marlon, we want to play basketball. And in a moment of weakness, in a moment of insanity, I agreed to coach them. And I remember going to the basketball court and realizing that I cannot use any basketball terminology because none of them knew it. I could not say, okay, you have this opening, drive the lane. Huh? Okay, drive the baseline. Huh? Okay, you can't be in the paint over 3 seconds. Huh? Literally, it almost had to be, this is a basketball. This is a basketball. That is the goal. And the whole object is to get this and that little round deal. I found out I was coaching people that not only had never played basketball, I don't think they'd ever watched a basketball game. They knew nothing. I've had to yell at them, no, no, you're going the wrong way. I mean, seriously, I've had to do that, you know. And it was that far, that extreme. And I just want to tell you, the first while there, the win column didn't chalk up many marks, okay? Actually, none. But they didn't quit, and I didn't quit. Finally, I had a girl. We went to a tournament over in Balt Springs. I had a girl play for me that set the record for rebounds in that tournament. Doesn't that sound good? That sounds impressive, right? The only problem, most of the rebounds was her own shot. She was tall. She was pretty tall, had long arms. I'd put her down there under the basket. She get the ball, she shoot it, it bounce off. Shoot it, bounce off. Shoot it, you know. I'm going, you know, the law of averages says eventually it's going to go in. She did, man. She held the record. Held the record. May still hold it, I don't know. In that tournament. We were winning some games by then. But I tell you what, was there a temptation, man? What have I got into? What in the world? But you can't quit, right? We couldn't quit because of that. Listen, if we're going to war a good warfare, there's going to be times you're going to get wounded. There's going to be times you're going to be weary. You're going to be, you're going to be maybe even upset. Yeah, those wounds, there may be some tears shed, and you'll get maybe a little despondent. Don't give up, okay? Don't do it. Don't do it. When I was a kid, we played soldier a whole bunch. I mean, we did. We played soldier a whole lot. But I have no idea what kind of soldier I would have made in the armed forces of our country. I don't know. Don't know it. But I do know this. The war that we're in as a Christian is no playtime. It is not a playtime, all right? And the one thing for sure, I want to be counted as a good soldier in the army of the Lord. I want to be counted. I want to war a good warfare. All right, I want to do it, all right? And until the trumpet of God sounds, or until my commanding officer says, hey, I'm retiring you, and you're coming home. But until then, I want to war a good warfare. Now, I realize there's some things I used to could do I can't do too much anymore. Brother Dunbar and I visited together on Tuesday night, or Thursday night this last week. And we went to see a fella, and we went to apartments, and he was ahead of me, and he goes up the stairs. I got up the stairs. Takes me longer to get up the stairs than does him to get up the stairs. All right? Does. Just takes me longer. And I realize that. Now, can I not climb stairs? No, I can still climb them. But I'm glad for the rails to kind of pull along, all right? You know? Help you up them stairs. Got knees that don't operate the way they used to. There's things I cannot do that I used to could do. But what I can do now, I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep doing it. We're not going to lower the flag and say, okay, I'm done. We're not going to do that kind of thing. And I hope you won't do that. I hope you'll realize I'm in this war to the end. the end of my life or the end of this world. But I'm there. I'm going to war a good warfare. I'm going to realize it's spiritual. It is not physical. It's not a carnal thing. It is a spiritual battle. I realize it requires me to hold the faith and to trust God in it. There's going to be times it doesn't look like there's a chance in the world of winning, but that's okay. Hey, by the way, it's right to lose a battle every now and then, but you don't quit. And just losing one battle doesn't mean the war is lost, all right? Doesn't mean that at all. There is over in the Pacific, in the, I believe it's in the Marianas Islands over there, there is a section called Iron Bottom Sound. And the reason it's given that name, there's so many ships at the bottom that got sunk during the war. There's a bunch of them over there. Ton of them. But every time a ship got sunk, we didn't quit. We still had to keep fighting. Still had to keep fighting, all right? Hey, I want a war, a good warfare. It's going to be by faith. I'm trusting God. I'm trusting Him. I'm not trusting my great ability. I'm trusting Him. And I'm going to stand for the faith He's given us. The faith. We're not going to back away from Bible commandments. We're not going to back away from Bible standards. We're not going to back away from those things. They're still here. They're still in the Word of God. We're going to keep standing for them. Let's not declare, hey, I just want a truce. No. When you take a truce, the other side just rebuilds, all right? Over in the Middle East, every time they declare a ceasefire over there, the Palestinians, so-called, restock. They restock up on all their rockets and all that stuff that they're going to send into Israel. That's all that happens. And the world clamors, oh, we need a truce, need a truce. Look, there's no truce in this warfare. We just keep fighting. War a good warfare, all right? War a good warfare. Maintaining a good conscience. Keeping my life with what I profess to believe. Sticking with it. Not changing what I believe because the world changes. No, sticking with what I believe. What I believe on the Word of God. If it's right, it's right. Can I say if it's right 100 years ago, still right? If it's the Word of God, it hadn't changed, it's still right. If it's right 50 years ago, it's right. Hey, it'll be right 50 years from now. I don't care what the lawmaker, what laws get passed. Doesn't change the truth. Doesn't change the truth. Just because a few years ago the Supreme Court ruled that abortion was legal didn't make it right. Still just wrong as it's ever been. Just wrong as it's ever been. Hey, let's hold the truth, okay? Let's hold the truth. Let's war a good warfare. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, you'd help us tonight. Lord, you've called us. Paul here charged Timothy that he would war a good warfare. Lord, I believe with all my heart, if you were here, you'd charge us the same way. Because I believe that's what you've done in the Scripture. You've charged us to war a good warfare. We're to stick with it. We're to stay in the battle. We may get wounded. We may even get wounded from friendly fire, Lord, from folks that mistake what we're doing, and it causes them out of envy or jealousy to come against us. But Lord, help us not to quit because of that. Lord, just stay in the battle. Help us. In Jesus' name I pray.